Okay, good morning and Chodesh Tov. So nice to see everyone again. okay, so I'd like to talk a little bit today about I think a beautiful idea that we can learn from Megillas Esther. So we have the Purim story, and we're introduced to Esther, our heroine in the Megillah, and the Megillah tells us Parak Beis Pasuk Zayin Vayhi Omenes Hadasa Hi Esther Bas Dodo Ki Ein La Aveim, and he Mordechai raised, he took care of Hadassah, who is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither, not a father nor a mother. And the Medrash in Esther Rabbah tells us in discussing this pasuk, Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Atem bechitem v'amartem Yisu somim hainu ve'ein av. Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, and he quotes the pasuk in Echa, you Bnei Yisrael, you cried to me, and you said to me, we don't have a father and a mother. We're talking about, again, Echa was written by Yirmiyahu after the destruction of the time of the first destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So Bnei Yisrael are crying to Hashem and saying, we're alone, we have no father or mother. Chayechem af ha-goel sha'ani asid la hamid lachem b'madai lo yelo av-va'im. Hadu d'chtiv ki'in la av-va'im. And so Hashem says, you should know that in the future there will be the Redeemer in the exile of Madai, and she also will not have a mother or a father. So obviously, this begs for some sort of explanation. What is Hashem trying to teach Bnei Yisrael in bringing about the Purim miracle through the hands of Esther, specifically an orphan with both no mother nor father? And somehow, how does this answer or rectify Bnei Yisrael's cries that, you know, after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, we're like orphans without a father? How does Hashem saying to them, well, you know what, in a future exile, you're going to have a savior without our mother or father, how does that answer their fears or their cries at this stage where they're holding? And another point that, you know, needs clarification is that there's a well-known Gemara that asks, the Gemara in Chulin, Kof Lamed Amud Bet asks, Esther min HaTorah Minayin. You know, where is Esther hinted to in the Torah? We know that a lot of things, or, you know, future things that happen to Bnei Yisrael, or referenced to or hinted to in the Torah. So the Gemara says, where do we find a hint to Esther in the Torah? And the Gemara answers, it's a Pasuk in Devarim, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yudches. And the Pasuk says, Va'anochi haster aster panai. I will surely have concealed my face. So again, this is another point that needs, you know, explanation when thinking about Esther and the character of Esther. You know, why is Esther named based on the tzara, right? The tragedy. What is Va'anochi haster aster panai? Hashem's going to hide his face. He's going to conceal his face. He's going to remove his hand. And this is what we're saying. Oh, the reference to our Redeemer, our great Savior during the miracle of Purim is God concealing his face. It shouldn't her name or the reference to Esther be based on the miracle or the great salvation that would happen, rather than Anochi Haster Aster Panai, I'm going to conceal, I'm going to remove myself, Bnei Yisrael, from your lives, I'm going to hide my face? Again, needs clarification. Also, another thing, when you think about, we call this Megillas Esther, right? This is the Megillah, the scroll of Esther. And again, why is it called by Esther's name? Especially since the Megillah tells us, Parak Tes Pasuk Chaf, Vayachtov Mordechai Es Hadvarim Ha'ele, that who wrote the Megillah? Mordechai, Rashi their comments, Vayachtov Mordechai, Hi HaMegillah Hazos Kimo Shehi. What did Mordechai write? He wrote this very Megillah. It seems that Mordechai is in fact the author of the Megillah, so therefore why do we call it Megillas Esther? It should be Megillas Mordechai. And Chazal tell us in the Gemara and Megillah that Esther asked the Chachamim to write the Megillah. It wasn't just an automatic thing, oh, this happened, let's write the Megillah, but rather, she actually asked them. The Gemara tells us, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, Shalchalahem Esther l'Chachamim, Kadvuni l'doro. Esther sent to them some sort of correspondence, and she said, write me for generations, write the story down, the future needs to know, the generations. But really, initially, Chazal did not agree until they found some sort of hint in the Torah to write the Megillah. And therefore, the Megillah is written in her name, because the Gemara in Sota tells us, ki ein ha-mitzvah nekreit ela al shem gomra, that a mitzvah, or the act, is only called by the person who actually gets it done, who finishes it. It could be that Mordechai actually wrote it, but Chazal were not going to include this, they were not going to make this a Megillah for generations, and because of Esther's request, because she sealed the deal, it's called Megillah Esther. But either way, you know, we still have to understand why Hashem made it that the Chachmei HaTorah didn't understand on their own that they should write this Megillah. It was only after Esther approached them with this request of Katvuni L'Dorot, write me for generations, that they said, that they thought about it and they said, you know what, it's a good idea, let's write this down. So I think with all of these questions, we, you know, we're going to try to build some sort of yesod, some sort of foundation, a deeper understanding into Purim, and hopefully into the concept of salvation and of Yeshua. So I think we can begin to understand this based on how Harav HaKadosh Rabbi Yisrael Meirajin explains the following statement of David HaMelech in Tehillim. The Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Beis, David HaMelech writes, Ad ana tastir es panecha mimeni. David HaMelech turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Hashem, how long are you going to conceal your face from me? How long are you going to hide from me? And then he continues, Ad ana asit etzot benafshi. How long must I set schemes within myself? Meaning, how long do I have to continue to devise schemes to extricate myself from my distress? How long do I have to come up with all these sorts of plans to get me out of these sticky situations, these situations of suffering and misfortune that I'm, and misfortune that I'm going through? And Rabbi Yisrael of Rajan explains that with this, David HaMelech is trying to teach us a lofty idea in Emunas Hashem, in faith and belief in God. A person that wants to be granted Hashem's salvation must know at the outset that no plan and no other power that he has or that he can, and nothing that he can do can actually save him. Rather, the ability to be saved from his tzara, from his misfortune, from his tragedy, it is only in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not this person, or I'm good at this, or I have this connection, but rather, what is going to ultimately bring about my salvation? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as long as a person imagines, or he thinks that he has some sort of ability to save himself, he cannot attain, he can't really come to this Yeshua Hashem, to this salvation, to this level of being saved. And that's what David HaMelech asks Hashem. He says, Ana ana tastir es panecha mimeni. How long, Hashem, are you going to hide your face from me? How long am I going to be in this state of suffering and misfortune? You know, how can I know, what can I possibly do to nullify this hester panim, this concealment? And so what does David HaMelech do? He basically answers it. He answers his own question. And he says it with the next statement. Adana asit etzot benashi. As long as I think I can come up with a plan on my own, I can devise some sort of scheme, some sort of way out, and I can extricate myself from this predicament, the hester panim is going to continue. But the moment that I know and believe that my salvation will not come from any plans, from any schemes, from any devices, from anything else, the concealment will be nullified and Hashem is going to remove his hester panim. And this is the words of Rabbi Yisrael Meirajin. He writes, Kol zman she'etza alach shov she'ani mesugal lasit etzo penavshi yamshicha hester panim. And at any point in time that I continue to be mistaken and I think, oh, I have a way out, I know this person, I could do that, I have this koyach, I know how to do this, the hester panim is going to continue. Hashem's going to continue to conceal his face. Aval berega she'eda ne'em mana she'ein biyadai shum eitza utfuna v'tavetel ha'eser panim. But at that very moment that I realize I could try as hard as I want and I could do as much as I can, but ultimately, whose hands is this all in? It's in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the hester panim, then Hashem concealing his face, then it becomes nullified. It has to come to that point in time that I know I could put in all the effort that I want, but ultimately, whose hands is this in? In the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's based on this idea that Rav Pinchas Friedman, the author of the Shvilei Pinchas, he explains the following medrash in Shmos Rabbah, based on the Pasuk in Shmos. The Pasuk in Shmos states, Va'alam en ha'aretz. And the Medrash writes, Kol zman she'Yisrael b'yirida ha'tachtona heim olim. says that Bnei Yisrael will go from the land, right? So the Medrash says, at all the points in time that Bnei Yisrael are in the Yerida Tachtona, they're at that lowest level, they're on the bottom rung of the ladder, they go up. Re'e Makativa, Allah min ha'aretz, the Pasuk says, Allah min ha'aretz, and they go up from the earth, from the lowest point. Amar David says in Tehillim, Ki shachala afar nafshenu, davkala afar b'neinu. For prostrated to the dust is our soul, stuck to the earth is our belly. When we're at that low point that we're literally on the earth, sticking to the dust, our belly is literally on the ground. Osa sha'a, at that very moment, kuma ezrata lanu ufteinu lema'an chastecha. Arise, assist us and redeem us for the sake of your kindness. When we're at that very bottom point that we can't go any lower, we're literally on the dust of the earth, then what is the next pasuk? What does David HaMelech say? Kuma, get up. Ezrata lanu ufteinu leman chasdecha. Hashem, redeem us. Take care of us. That's our salvation. V'kein mevuar b'medrash shochar tov. And similarly, the medrash shochar tov explains on Tehillim. Ki shachar la'afar nafshenu. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu la'Avram. Hashem, on the same pasuk, another medrash says, Hashem said to Abraham, V'santi zaracha ka'afar ha'aretz. I'm going to make your descendants like the dust of the earth. V'ksiv, kum hisalech ba'aretz. Get up and go, you know, through the land. Right? What happens when we're like the dust of the earth, and then you get up and you walk? Because when we get to that point that we realize we're at the bottom and there's nowhere else to turn, that's when we can rise up. That's when Hashem gives us the ability to stand up and he helps us. And again, another medrash on the same capital in Tehillim. Amru Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bnei Yisrael turns to Hashem and they say to Hashem, Ribon ha'olamim, emasai ata goalanu, when are you going to redeem us? Amar lahem, Hashem says to them, l'kashesherdu l'yerida ha'tachtona, when you go down, when you sink to that bottom level, otah sha'ah ani goel etchem. At that point in time, that is the point in time that I'm going to redeem you. Amru bnei korach b'yerida ha'tachtona. Now what happened? The same thing happened to Bnei Korach. Bnei Korach were the ones who were rah-rah, fighting against Moshe, rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They reached that bottom level, and then they were able to change, and they were able to turn around their lives. Just like our pasuk that David HaMelech says in Tehillim, when we're at that point that our bellies are literally sticking to the ground, the dust of the earth, then it's kuma ezrata. Then Hashem gets us up and helps us to stand up and, you know, to save ourselves from these situations. Now, when we think about this, it's very puzzling. We know Hashem is the ultimate Racham V'Chanan. He is the ultimate good. He is the compassionate one. He is the merciful one. So why would he wait to help Bnei Yisrael, you know, to reach the very bottom? Why does he let them fall that low? Why does he let them get into such a situation of suffering and misfortune? And then, only then, when they can't go any lower, when it can't get any worse, that's when he helps them up. You know, it's not only that he's not helping them to begin with, but he's literally watching them fall, down, 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 lower and lower, till they reach the point of kishachar la'afar nafshenu, davka la'aretz b'neinu. But it's really based on the words that we said of Rav HaKadosh Mirajin that we can try to understand this medrash. Because in reality, everything is really based on our emunas Hashem. It's all based on the faith that we have in God. If we would have the emuna pshuta, the simple emuna, the simple belief that we have no savior, there are no ideas, and there are no other plans other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would merit an instantaneous salvation, like the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Doresh Hashem lo yachzeru tov. Those who seek out God, they lack no good. Or another Pasuk in Tehillim, Vavoteach b'Hashem chesed yisov avenu. That a person who trusts in Hashem, chesed, kindness surrounds him. You know, but what's the issue? The issue is the Yetzer Hara puts in our heads, you're okay, you're not in such a bad situation, you know, that you alone, you can fix this, you have this connection, you have this protection, don't worry about it. And we come to this point in our lives that we think, like the Pasuk in Devarim says, Va'amarta b'lvavecha, kochi ve'otzem yadi aseli yetzachaya azeh. That we get to the point in our lives that what? Oh my goodness, you want to know? You want to know how I was so successful in business? You want to know how I, you know, discovered this cure or became such a successful doctor or accomplished in this area, or how I was able to start this organization and do all these amazing things, and how I'm such a wonderful mother and this and that? Kochi ve'otzem yadi. Look who I am. Look at all the talents I have. It's all about me. And so therefore, we get into this sticky situation. So what does Hashem do? He waits until we reach the absolute bottom. That man knows and believes that what? It's complete, it's total, that there's no other plan and there's no other address that can help us other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's once we get to this point that we can place all our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we can put it all on Him, knowing that no matter what I do, ultimately it's up to Hashem. That's the point in time that we merit the salvation. And this is exactly how David HaMelech pours his heart out to Hashem in prayer. On behalf of Bnei Yisrael, what does he say? Kishacha la'afar nafshenu, davka la'aretz b'neinu. Hashem, we've reached the very bottom, right? Our bellies are literally on the dust of this earth. The Yetzer Hara no longer has the power to confuse us or the ability to mix us up or confuse our minds to think, oh, it's my strength. You know, it's up to me. I myself have the power to get out of this sorrow, this misfortune. So now that we're at that point that we can believe in complete faith that only our Father in heaven, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to save us, and we hang our hope only on Him, then David HaMelech asks Hashem, Kuma ezrata lanu uftenu l'man chasdecha. Hashem, please get up, redeem us, you know, in your great kindness. It's at that point that David HaMelech can ask Hashem to take us out of this, because we recognize, Hashem, it's just you. You're the only one who could take care of us. You're the only address that we can go to. And it's based on this that we can understand the intention of the Medrash that we began with. The Medrash says, Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, atem bechitem va'amartem yisomim haynu ve'ein av. Hashem turns to Bnei Yisrael during the time of Gullus, of the Gullus of the first Beis HaMikdash, and He says, you're crying, Bnei Yisrael, because you have no father or mother? Bnei Yisrael, you're mistaken. You think that being a yasom, being an orphan, is some sort of chisaron, that you're lacking something, because you feel like, you know, in the natural way of the world, b'derech hateva, you have no one to lean on, you have no one to stand by you and support you. You know, you think, you know, when I go through something difficult, I need my father, my mother, someone in my family to help support me, to get me through this. And so you're fetching, you're crying to Bnei Yisrael, Hashem, we have no one, Hashem. We're orphans. We're alone. Who's going to lift us up? Who's going to support us? And Hashem says, Chayechem, af hagol she'ani yasid la'amid lachem, b'madai lo yelo ava'im, hadahol zichtiv ki ein la'ava'im. You should know that in the future, the Redeemer is going to come to Bnei Yisrael, and they're also going to be orphans without a father and a mother. Why? In order to specifically teach Bnei Yisrael this concept that what? Hashem's going to bring the salvation to Bnei Yisrael through Esther, who was an orphan, no mother, no father. And what did this cause her to do? She knew she had no one to the right of her, to the left of her. There was no one for her to rely on. No one to keep her standing. No one to prop her up. And what did this cause her to do? Trust only in Him. There's only a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have no family. I have no mother. I have no father. I have no one who's going to help me get me out of this sticky situation. And so therefore, she knew most definitely her whole life from the very beginning, there's only one person that I can rely on, and that's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, it was specifically Esther who merited to nullify this Hester Panim, this concealment of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and bring about the Nes of Purim to Klal Yisrael. And it's from this that we can understand that Hashem's salvation is more secure and it's certain when man recognizes that there's no one else in his life to rely on other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's this idea that we actually see so clearly in Esther's actions before she actually puts her life into danger to go before the king without permission. What happens? Esther pours out her heart in prayer, and she mentions in her prayer that she's always trusted in Him. She's always turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially as an orphan. And this is described in the Medrash in Esther Rabbah, which states, so basically we know what's the story of Purim. Bnei Yisrael are in a dire a predicament. You know, Haman got the stamp of approval from Ahasuerus to annihilate the whole Jewish people. Everyone, from young to old, there's no one left, right? And so, and she sees that she has no choice. She has to go before the king and ask him to some sort of intercede on their behalf. And she's very nervous because we know no one's allowed to go before the king without permission. So Masa Mordechai, ki beitza tatinokos. Mordechai goes and he gathers all the young children. And they're all fasting. They're afflicting themselves. And they are literally in sackcloths and ashes. And they literally are crying and screaming and involving themselves in Torah. And Esther was so afraid of the bad that was going to befall, that was sprouting to happen to Klal Yisrael. And she removes her royal clothing, she puts on sackcloth and ashes, she also fasts. You know, she's very worried about the predicament. And she falls before Hashem and she dives. Hashem, the God of the world, you rule the world from way back when, and you created the world. Please help your maid servant that I've been an orphan without a mother and a father. And I literally have no place. I'm an orphan going from place to place. And similarly now, I'm asking you in Achashverosh's house, going from room to room, begging you to please have rachmanus, have mercy. Vata Hashem hatzlicha nala amasecha ha'aniyah hazos. Please make me successful. Vatzila eston merisecha min ha'ayvim ha'elu asher kamu aleinu. And save the flock, your sheep, from these enemies that are standing up against us. Ki ein l'cha ma'atzor l'oshia v'rav obamad. Because Hashem, there's no obstacle, big or small, that stops you from helping and saving. Va'ata avi yisomim amod nal yimin ha'yisoma hazos asher b'chastecha batcha. And now Hashem, you, the father of all orphans, please stand next to me, an orphan, that my whole life I have trusted in you. Asher b'chastecha batcha, I trusted in your kindness. Utna usi l'rachamim lifnei ha'ish hazeki yoreisiv v'hishpil ehu lefanai ki ata mashpil ge'im. And please, you know, grant me favor with this person that I'm so afraid to go to, and, you know, submit him, make him, you know, not so haughty, not so high and mighty, because you are the one who has the ability to do this. And this is where we find Hashem's accepting Esther's tefillah. What is the point that she's emphasizing to Hashem over and over? Hashem, I'm an orphan. I have no one else other than you. My whole life I've trusted in you. And the Medrash explains even further. So what happens? She's outside the king's chambers and she lifts up her head and she sees the king's face. And she looks at his eyes. And she sees he's fuming. He's so angry. There's this great fire inside of him. And she's fearful. She recognizes the anger and the fury in the king's, that she sees in the king's and eyes, and she becomes weakened, and she puts her head on the girl that's literally propping her up. And Hashem saw, and he has rachmanus on her, and he turns latzar hayisoma to the pain of the orphan asher batchabo, that she trusted in him. And what happens? She grants her favor in the eyes of the king. We have the switch. And what is the point that's being emphasized over and over? I'm Esther, I'm a Yasom, I have no father and mother, I've always trusted in you, Hashem. Hashem, please, you're the only one, I've always had you, always looked towards you. Please help me in this same situation. I know it's only you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's based on this, that we have in mind, with this idea in mind, that we can understand Esther's seemingly bizarre behavior. I mean, we take the story of Megillas Esther a lot of times for granted, because we've been told it over and over from the time we're so young, that sometimes we just know that this is the story. We don't stop to think, wow, maybe some of the things that are going on here are quite strange. I mean, let's think about this. B'nai Yisrael are in a grave situation, right? They're about to face complete annihilation. Haman got the stamp of approval. That's it. They're all going to be killed. And Esther asks Mordechai, listen, gather up the Jewish people, fast and daven for 3 days. And after 3 days, everyone's screaming and crying and fasting and davening. With great trepidation, she goes before Achashverosh without being called, right? And we know that that's never a good thing. You're not allowed to go before the king without being called. And by the grace of God, what does he do? He extends his scepter to her, right? And now, even in just knowing this, with the knowledge of the Medrash that we just read, it wasn't that he just extended his scepter. He literally was bubbling, burning in anger. And then there was a switch. Oh, Esther, come in. And what does he say to her? Vayomer la hamelech, malacha Esther amalka, ma bakasha seich. Oh, my dear sweet, literally like a schizo. My dear sweet Esther, what do you want? What's your request? And what does he say? Al chatzi hamalchus vateas. I will give you up to half my kingdom. He basically is saying, here's a genie. What would you like, Esther? I'll give you whatever you want, right? And at that point, Esther could ask for anything. Save the people, get rid of the decree. I mean, she could have 100 wishes. I don't know. She could have asked for anything. And what does she ask for at that moment in time? A party, right? Please, Ahasuerus, come with Haman and let's have some drinks together. You know, I'll open a nice cocktail bar, whatever you want. Seriously. Vatomer Esther, imel ha-melech tov, yavo ha-melech v'haman, hayom el ha-mishtah sara sisilo. Please, come to a party. Let's enjoy. Let's relax together. We'll drink. I'll have some nice appetizers and the like. Seriously? And this is her special request in light of, especially in light of, let's think about Ahasuerus' history. I mean, he's not exactly known to be the most stable of people, right? One minute, he's madly in love with Vashti. He wants to parade her around and show her to the whole party. The next minute, he's angry at her because she refused. So he beheads her. That's it. Vashti's gone. And then the next morning, he wakes up and he's so depressed because he killed the woman that he loved. You know, so seriously, Ahasuerus changes his mind with the change of wind. You know, who's to say that in 5 minutes from now, he'll still want to grant her request, right? And imagine what's going on at the time. Bnei Yisrael are davening. They're worried sick. They're fasting. They're worried about the people. But you know, about the fate of their people, but like somewhere deep down, they have some sort of security. They say, you know what, we're in a bad situation, but you know what happens to me? We have some sort of connections. The queen in the palace, she's our sister, she's our relative, right? So, you know, there's still that possibility that maybe Esther can save us, right? Can you imagine what happens? Imagine the hak in shul. The next morning, everyone goes to shul. What happened with Esther in the meeting with the king? You know, was she successful? Did she ask to save us? And like, they hear that what? Oh, Esther decided, I'm not going to ask Ahasuerus to save you. What am I going to ask him? I just asked him for a party. They must have thought Esther went mad. You know, what is going on here? She had the ability to ask for anything. And it's really, you know, it's because of this that Chazal explained the Gemara in Megillah, Ted Vav Amibet says, Tana Rabbanan, Ma Rasa Esther Shazimna Es Haman. You know, what did Esther see? What in her right mind was she thinking? Why did she invite Ahasuerus and Haman to this party? So that Bnei Yisrael shouldn't come to the point and say, ah, we have a sister in the palace. We have some sort of connection. And they shouldn't give up hope that the rachamim, the compassion, the salvation is going to come only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Esther felt that Bnei Yisrael hadn't reached a place that they felt that there was no one else for them to rely on other than Hashem. They still had this part of them that believed, okay, maybe the salvation will come in a natural way, you know, through the hands of Queen Esther, their relative. But when she entered Ahasuerus' chambers without permission and she saw the anger and the fury in his eyes, and she experienced the salvation only because of what? She knew. Her complete faith and trust in Hashem. She knew that she had to bring Bnei Yisrael to such a place. And therefore, what did she ask? She asked for Ahasuerus to come to a party so that Bnei Yisrael shouldn't say or feel, ah, we have a connection. We have Esther Hamalcha. We don't have to worry so much. We did our thing. We fasted. We davened. But in the end of the day, we have someone who's going to take care of us. They needed to come to a point that they had to recognize that the salvation, the Yeshua, the miracle is only going to come from one place. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, and it's with this that it's so beautiful to understand Esther's request to the Chachamim. What does Esther say to the Chachamim? She says, Katvuni l'doros, right? You know, that which we explain, oh, they should agree that they should write this Megillah for generations, right? And obviously we know Esther, we can tell from the story, Esther's intention was only for the glory of Hashem, right? That people should know and publicize the greatness of Purim, right? And therefore, it's important to write down this story. Look what happened. The generation should know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Bnei Israel. But it's interesting, what's her request? Katvuni l'doros. Please write me for generations. It seems that she's asking that she should be written about. We know that Esther's not this, you know, person who's very self-centered and needs to be, you know, everyone has to recognize her and know what's going on. Why is she saying that? But it's based on what we said until now that we can understand Esther's request. She was asking Chachamim to write that she, Esther, was the root of their salvation. She was the root of the Nes of Purim. Because why? She was an orphan without a mother and a father. And since she always trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she always put her faith and trust in Him, in no one else but Him. It was this specific point of Esther that she taught Bnei Israel, and it was this point that Chazal wanted to record and that she wanted recorded for generations. Not just the story about the Nes of Purim, but how did we get to the Nes of Purim? How did we get to that point of salvation? Because we knew that it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's with this in mind that it's so befitting to call the Megillah, Megillas Esther, and not, like we said, Megillas Mordechai. While it's true that it's correct to call her that because it was written only on Esther's request, etc., you know, even though Mordechai wrote it, but it's called Megillas Esther because it's supposed to remind us of the lesson specifically of Esther Hamalka, the specific lesson that she taught us. And what was that lesson? That our salvation comes only when we place our trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Megillas Esther is the sefer that reveals to us Esther's great amuna. Who was Esther? An orphan. No mother, no father, no one. And yet she was able to stand up and to trust Hashem and to put herself out there to save the Jewish people. Why? Because she believed and she trusted fully in Hashem. She did it her whole life. She had no choice. She had no one to call, no one to help her out. That was it. She was alone in the world. Alone, except she realized she wasn't. There was one person that was always there for her. And that's how she was able to bring about salvation. And that's what Megillas Esther is. And it's in this vein that we can understand the words of the Chachamim in the Gemara that we mentioned in the Torah. We said, Esther min haTorah minayin. Where do we see a reference, a hint to Esther in the Torah? And we said, Va'anochi haster aster panai. Right? That Hashem's going to conceal his face from us. And our question was, well, that's kind of strange. You know, Esther, Megillas Esther is a story about salvation. And yet the reference in the Torah to this amazing story or this amazing woman is what? Concealment. But it's based on what we said that what is the Gemara asking? Where in the Torah do we have a reference, a hint to Esther's high level of emunah, her level of faith and trust in Hashem, that you can only trust in Him? And to this, the Gemara answers, Va'anochi haster aster panai, that I'm going to conceal my face. And I think to better understand the Gemara's question and answer, we have to go back to the context of the Psukim, as quoted by the Gemara. So we go to Devarim, Perek Lamed Tes, starting with Pasuk Tet Zayin, and the Pasuk tells us, Vayomer Hashem Amosha, Hincha shochev im avosecha, v'kam ha'am hazeh, v'zana acharei Elohei nechar ha'aretz asher hu ba shama bikerbo, v'azavani v'hafar et briti asher karati oto, v'chara api bo b'yom ha'hu, v'azavtim v'hisarti panai mehem, v'ayal echol u'matza'uhu ra'ot rabo v'tarot. Hashem said to Moshe, behold, you will lie with your forefathers, but this people will rise up, meaning Moshe, after you're gone, Bnei Yisrael are going to turn over, open a new page. And what's going to happen? They're going to rise up and stray after the gods of the foreigners of the land, in whose midst it is coming. And it will forsake me and annul my covenant that I have sealed with it. Bnei Yisrael are going to go astray. They're going to go after foreign gods. My anger will flare against it. On that day, I will forsake them. Hashem says, they've gone after other gods. And I'm gonna leave them, sarti panai, and I'm gonna conceal my face from them. And then what? They're gonna become prey, and many evils and distresses will encounter them. Listen, this is what happens. Bnei Israel leave Hashem, they go after Avodah Zarah. Hashem says he removes himself, you know, you're not recognizing me as your creator or your caretaker, and therefore bad things happen to us. And then the pasuk continues, Va'amar bayomahu, halok al ki ein Elokai bekirbiu mataunni haraod haila, vanochi haster aster panai biom hahu, al kol hara asher asaki pana el Elohim achirim. And on that day, you know, Bnei Yisrael, at some point Bnei Yisrael are going to open their eyes. They're going to see what's going on in their lives and all these tzaros, and they're going to say, oh, it's not because my God is not in my midst that these evils have come upon me, right? Basically, what happens? They're going to recognize, We made a mistake. We left HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now we have all these tzaros. Okay, very good. So they're coming to their recognition, and then the pasuk says, "Va'anochi hastir astir panai bayomahu al kol ra asher asa ki panei elachem." And then Hashem again repeats, "I'm going to conceal my face," you know, because of all the bad that happened, the evil, and they turn to other gods. So when we read the psukim carefully and closely, the order seems very strange, right? First, the Torah says, Bnei Yisrael went after other gods, and Hashem punished them by concealing his face, right? And what happens? He concealed his face. They have suffering and bad. And as a result of all these sorrows, all these tragedies and misfortune, Bnei Yisrael do some sort of cheshbon hanefesh. They introspect, and they realize, and they do tshuva, right? And they say, oh my goodness, because I left Hashem, because God is no longer my midst, all these bad things have happened to me, right? And so they're in this state of tshuva. They're in the state of recognizing, whoa, I did something wrong. Now I need to change the course of events. I need to change what's going to happen. And if that's the case, Bnei Yisrael are already at that point that they're recognizing the things that they did wrong and they're ready to do tshuva. Why does Hashem add a second time, Va'anochi hastir astir panai bayomahu, al kol ra asher asa ki panai elohim acharim, right? Now again he's saying, I'm going to conceal my face. But they're already at that point that they're ready to do tshuva. But I think the answer becomes clear based on the ideas we have discussed till now, right? Hashem intended to say that though Bnei Yisrael were awakened to do tshuva, yes, they're getting to that point, but since they strayed after other gods, there remains some feeling in them that they can trust in man or other things, right? There are other options in their lives. There's a reason why they went after these other gods. And so therefore Hashem adds, Va'anochi hastir astir panai bayomahu, that I'm going to conceal my face. Because Bnei Yisrael, you're not going to find any natural way to be saved from your salvation, from your tzara. And the reason he says this is, Al kol hara asher asa ki pana elohim acharim. Because you looked into other venues, you looked into other options, you thought there were other ways that good things could come about in your life, therefore what? Bnei Yisrael, you have to completely uproot this concept from your lives, from your minds, from your hearts, and any faith or dependence that you have in natural events or in other people, and you must know and completely believe that there's only one address, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we see therefore the fact that Hashem says Va'anochi hastir astir panai bayomahu, it's an integral part of the tikkun process. That is part of the tshuva process. It's not like, oh my gosh, bad things happened to me, and now everything's going to turn around. I have to come to that point that I recognize I looked into other options, but really there's only one place. There's only one thing that I can believe and place my trust in, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the explanation of the Gemara, Esther min HaTorah minayin. Where in the Torah is the great emuna of Esther hinted to? That a person should only believe that what? It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the only one who can help. And that the help cannot come from any other natural means. And that's why the Gemara says, Va'anochi hastir astir panai. Hashem is going to conceal his face so that there is no natural way of resolving the issue. And they must come to the understanding and the belief that what? It's only He, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the only one who can really get us out of this situation. And this is the message of Esther. This is the message of the Megillah. When things are trying and things are difficult, you have to know that it's only Hashem whom we can rely on and who can really take us out of this situation. It's not the connections we have, it's not the political action committees, but rather what? It's our complete faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knowing that He has the ability to save us, and we have to turn to Him. Esther was an orphan, no mother, no father. There was no one in the world for her to rely on other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it was precisely this idea that she was able to teach Bnei Yisrael and ultimately bring about the miracle of Purim. You think, Bnei Yisrael, I'm going to go in and I'm just going to ask Achashverosh, rub the genie, and I'm going to ask Achashverosh to save us? No. Because I got to that point, but you have to know, Bnei Yisrael, it's not me. It's not Esther Hamalka that's going to bring you the salvation. I'm just going to invite him to a party. You see, I could have asked him for anything I wanted to, but I didn't. Because you have to know that it's not me and it's not anyone else, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then this was the lesson that Esther was successful in teaching and imbuing into Bnei Yisrael. And this lesson is not only crucial and important for for the Purim miracle. But when we approach the world around us, you know, as we know too well, you can't open up the newspaper or listen to the radio. You hear about, you know, the anti-Israel media bias, you know, when we're reprimanded instead of the terrorists who are trying to kill innocent civilians. And you have the BDS movements on the campuses that are, you know, gaining strength, and the rampant anti-Semitism throughout the world. You know, it's important to remember that the ultimate protection and the salvation is not going to come from our elected officials or from APAC or protests or pro-Israel education. Obviously, it's important to put in our hishtalos. We have to put our effort in to try to do the best we can. But ultimately, are those the things that are going to bring about our salvation? No. The salvation in the Yeshua is going to come from the one and only master of the universe. And hopefully, when we can recognize that and we can place our faith and our emuna only in Him, we will merit our personal Yeshuas, our personal salvation, and the salvation of Klal Yisrael.